Well, definitely don't want to get ahead of anyone, but we do appreciate the Lord. They may not necessarily understand everything their parents are doing for them, but yet the parents are working for their good. And truly that is the case with our Heavenly Father. There's times that maybe we as His children don't understand everything that He's doing, but we have to believe, I shouldn't say we have to, but it's to our benefit to believe the scripture in Romans 8:28, that all things are working together for our good, but to those that love the Lord. So that's an encouraging thought. The burden I have is something a little different than that. I want to write a couple of words on the board here. I have two words written on the board, and it is praise Him. And obviously, it's not talking about praising some individual in this congregation or someone else in the world or our best friend. But it's obviously talking about praising God. Truly, He is the one that deserves all honor and praise and glory. But it's something that I believe is good for the soul to do. And here's a little concept. Think of it this way. How many times do we battle thoughts in our minds? Thoughts to think a certain thing or to do a certain thing. But has this thought of praising God, of praising Him, is that thought ever come from the devil? Has the devil ever challenged you and saying, why don't you just praise God? No, I don't think the devil does that. So we are safe to say that any time that thought crosses our mind to praise Him, to praise God, it's from the Lord. So it never fails. I should say praise is always in order. We'll just put it that way. Even when you don't feel like it, praise is always in order. It's especially those times when you don't feel like praising Him is when the devil is going to come by and say, why don't you curse Him, so to speak. Now, the devil knows perhaps, well, we're not going to use curse words. You know what I'm saying? But you remember when Job and his wife, someone that should have been perhaps the best and most influential encourager, came by and told Job, why don't you just curse God and die? But, you know, sometimes the devil likes to whisper that to us. Maybe not those exact words, but he's going to come by and whisper something totally opposite of that. But I'm here tonight to tell us, to encourage us, that praise is always in order. But there are times when we live this everyday life that we kind of have this seesaw battle back and forth, because we have to live life. We have to deal with our feelings and emotions and our thoughts and other people's feelings and emotions as well. But there's some scriptures I want to read tonight in Psalms, the 42nd chapter. In fact, I want to read this whole chapter. It's not too long, and we'll kind of pick it apart a little bit and cover some of the things that are addressed here. We'll start with verse 1. We'll read a couple of verses here. Psalms 42 and 1. It says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Well, let's just analyze this first scripture a little bit. It says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Well, in this passage, the heart was simply a deer, to put it simply. It's something that was interesting. They say, and this can apply to several of those in the deer family, but especially when other animals, say whether it's dogs or other predators are going after the deer would find refuge with the water. First of all, from maybe running from their enemy, from the predator, running from that, they obviously get thirsty, just like us as humans. We get thirsty. So to come down to the brook, the water brooks, and to find water there as refreshing was wonderful. But there was a second thing, that this water, it would also provide a refuge, that they could actually jump into the water, okay, and to find a safe haven from the enemies, from those that are after him. So you could say it this way. This is what thirsting for God, and many believe that this passage and maybe some of the others were written for the children of Israel in times when they were in bondage, when they were in captivity. And in reflecting back some on how God had been there for them before, now here they find themselves in a very discouraging situation. And in desiring to be in the presence of God again. And here it is, it says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." In other words, it's saying there are times when we feel like the devil is right on our heels. Okay, it's almost like we can feel his hot breath on our neck, so to speak, that he's right there after us. Well, scriptures bear that out, that the devil is after us. But we have a place, a refuge. We have a safe haven in the Lord. And in this case, it's the water. It's not only does he quench our thirst, but he's also someplace we can jump into God, so to speak, and be safe. Isn't that wonderful? That we can come to, whether it's a worship service or whether it's our prayer closet or whether it's a song we can break out and start singing, that we remember the words and how it was such a blessing to us before. And that song will come back to us. That's not just happen chance. That's the Lord encouraging us. As Sister Christy was sharing earlier, sometimes it's a scripture that God will remind you. Perhaps 15 years ago, God gave you a scripture in the heat of the battle. And then it's like you almost forgot about it. But then here again, you're faced with another obstacle, another battle. And here it is, the Lord gives you that scripture again. And that's a refuge. We can jump into the scriptures. We can jump into the presence of the Lord, so to speak, and find safety. Isn't that wonderful? Well, then it goes on in verse 3. "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" Have you ever had the devil say that to you? Or have you ever had someone else say it? Maybe not directly, but it's like they're saying, "Well, aren't you a Christian and aren't you living for God? And why is all this adversity happening to you? What about these afflictions that you're carrying? What about this and what about that? And what about, you know, these homes that are breaking up and these people that are turning from God? And what about, well, don't you serve a God that cares and loves for you?" Yes, I do. And no doubt there's been many through the ages of time that have felt folks coming to them and saying, "Well, remember, well, Job, we'll pick on him again. He had these friends again that came to encourage Job, but yet they started questioning him, you know, and in fact was more of a discouragement to him." And sometimes we find ourselves in that situation where someone, maybe unintentionally, they'll say or do something that I'm like, "Well, that really wasn't encouraging, but you can classify it as Job's comforters or whatever." But the point is, there's going to be adversity out there, and there's going to be folks that will not understand you, that they're not going to get it. Where, well, I'm going to serve God regardless. And what did Job say? "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That is the faith and the confidence that we must have in God if we are to please him. What's the scripture say? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Well, to please God. Well, what we're leading up here to in a moment is this thing called praise. If you could say a foundation for praise is faith. Because you see here, some folks will come along and say, "Where is thy God?" And then verse 4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy of praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." And then he's asking himself, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You see, that's where it takes faith to praise God. And praise is something that's not just an emotion. You see, sometimes the world likes to put, well, we hear this phrase of praise and worship music out there that the world promotes, and some of it is fine. I mean, some of it, you truly are praising God and you're glorifying God. That's fine. But a lot of times it's all worked up in just to a hype and just an emotion, and all just feeling happy and just smiling, just praising God, praising God, praising God, and just repeating things over and over and over. And that's all it is. But praise is more than that. Praise is, first of all, again, the foundation of it, believing that there is a God. Okay? Otherwise, how can you praise Him? So you first have to believe that there is a God. And second of all, believe that He is in control of all my circumstances. And not just He's in control of the whole world. He even controls the devil. Do you believe that tonight? Now, granted, there are areas where the Lord will allow the devil free reign, so to speak. But the point is, the devil would if he had his way, we would all be dead right now. Do you believe that? So therefore, God has control over the devil, because He's saying, no, it's not their time to go yet. There are times when God does take one of us, and God allows that. But the Lord truly does have the ultimate control. So therefore, I can praise Him for that, okay? So it's these little stepping stones of faith. And that's when faith starts taking hold, that I realize that God does have everything in control. Yeah. Then I can truly step back and say, praise God. Yeah. Praise be to Him. That He knows everything. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He knows all things. He's in all places at once. There's nothing that's fooling Him. It doesn't matter. Somebody can come up and to say, where is thy God? As if God has disappeared and God has no power. We don't even have to say a word except praise God. You know, that's all. Or we could, even if we didn't say it, but just in our hearts saying, I'm praising God anyway. I'm going to live for Him. I don't care how you question. It does not change who God is. Because God is God. And therefore we can praise Him. It's not something where I have to force myself and praise God. You know, or always have to smile. That's an emotion. That's what the world wants us to think. Well, you can't praise God unless you're smiling. But I want to tell you something. We can praise God just by living for Him, not giving up in the fight. That is praising God, because that's giving glory to Him. That's what praise is all about. When we acknowledge, I can't do anything, what's the scripture say? Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of Him, is of God. That's what it amounts to. That's praising God in the flesh, so to speak. It's saying, Lord, I can't control what other people say and what other people do. But by Your grace, I'm going to serve You. I'm going to live for You. Be like the three Hebrew children, that they were willing to be thrown into the fire. That sounded so ridiculous. All you have to do is just walk over here and bow down just for 5 seconds. And the three Hebrew children are saying, uh-uh, not going to do it. They were going to praise God regardless. They were willing to be thrown into the fire, not knowing what was going to happen. That more than likely, when you're dealing with, well, we saw the dead soldiers right over there that just, you know, were trying to get this fire hotter. So it's a pretty hot fire. But they didn't think twice about it. They're like, no, we're going to serve the one and only true living God. And in the end, were people saying, where is thy God? Were people saying that? No, they're saying, we know who the true and living God is. And that is the key, that we have to be sometimes the ones to, because God is up there, so to speak. But God wants to use us, all right? And praising Him with our lives, that it points everyone else to who? Back to the Lord. It doesn't point, The three Hebrew children, they weren't wanting to have some famous news article written about them, that these guys are invincible, you know, fire that's 4,500 degrees, you know, that's melting everything around them. But yet, not even the hairs were singed on them. They didn't care about anything, about any fame or recognition. They were serving and praising Him, praising God in the furnace. Well, but it says here, it says, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." I'll tell a little story. Because sometimes the countenance can be concerning. Okay? Now I'll explain a little further. I remember years ago when I was in high school. I've shared this story before, so if you've heard it, bear with me. It was during the lunch period. And we were eating Nacho Supreme chips, okay? And good meal, we're enjoying the meal. And I was sitting there eating with my friends. And make a long story short, I got a chip lodged in my throat. And I'd never experienced this before or since. But it was very alarming because I could not get my breath. I'd heard all these stories before, but I had never experienced it before. And I was rather alarmed. I was like, I didn't know what to do. And I'm just sitting there. My buddies next to me, they're just thinking I'm playing a game. They're like, you know, they just kept eating, like, you know. But while I'm sitting there, I'm looking around. I'm like, I need some help. But I was in a state of shock, so to speak. And I was kind of numb. I didn't know what to do. And I cannot get my breath. And it's like the harder I tried, the worse it got. Well, just to the side of me, I'm looking over there. And I see a teacher standing, and there was always two or three teachers monitoring the lunch period there. And the teacher my eyes fell upon that was closest to me was a coach, Coach Fowler. And he happened to be our health teacher as well. I'd had him a year or two prior in health class. And he immediately, when he realized what was going on, he starts walking towards me, okay? And you got to understand who he was. He wasn't someone that just got in a hurry and was racing around everywhere. He was very methodical, well planned out type of guy, in control, and didn't get excited about stuff. But he was, you know, took care of business when he needed to. And he was marching right over towards me. Well, immediately what flashed in my mind was, oh no, the Heimlich maneuver. And that's what he taught in class. And it demonstrated. And that can be very painful. But yet it can save lives. Let me tell you something. That the first thought that came to mind was, oh no. But then it's like, oh yes. Because I'm realizing this is serious. And I'm like, I'm nodding my head because he's kind of a question. He knew I couldn't talk. And I'm like, you know, I need your help. But just to see that look on his face that I knew everything was going to be okay, even though it might hurt. I knew that I was going to survive because this guy, if anyone else in this whole school, knew how to do it. All right. He was a professional at it. So I'm like, I know it's going to hurt, but I'm okay. You know, it's whatever. Just, yeah, I need your help. But by the time he got to the table, thankfully, it dislodged and everything was okay. But the point was, I truly drew comfort by his countenance. He knew it was serious. He wasn't laughing, you know. It was a look of concern and compassion. I'd never seen that look before, but I saw it at that moment, at the time that I needed it. And it truly did bring a calmness to me because I could have been hopping up doing whatever, but I knew everything was going to be okay. He was coming towards me and he acknowledged that. But again, in the scripture it says, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." You realize sometimes just a look from the Lord is enough to comfort you. You understand what I'm saying? Have you ever felt the Lord look at you? You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes it is just through a little gentle thought. Or it may be through the actions of someone else that they had no idea what they were doing or what they were saying. But it was as if the Lord was using them to look at you in compassion and to help you in a time of need that no one else, they were totally oblivious to it. But God knew that you needed something special. And God gave you that song. God gave you that scripture. God gave you that inspiration, that comforting thought from someone or from some source that was orchestrated by God. That is God looking at us. That's His countenance. That brings hope. That's what it's talking about here. And that brings a comfort. And that brings a joy. And guess what? Even though we may be in the heat of the battle, we can praise God because He hasn't forgotten us. Isn't that wonderful? Well, let's read on here. In verse 6. It says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar." You know, sometimes it's just good to sit down and reflect. I've had to do it before. You've heard the song, "Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One." You know, it's so tempting. And maybe it's just me, but there's some times where it's like, I just want to make a list of all the bad things. You understand what I'm saying? That it's like, I just want to make a list of everything that's disturbing me, everything that's frustrating me, everything that is confusing me, and everything, just make a whole long list of all these bad things. And in fact, I've started to do that a couple times. And the Lord will check me every time. And He'll say, think on these things. And I'll remember that scripture, Philippians 4 and 8. Okay, whatsoever things are of good report. That is so simple, but yet it is so big. Because the devil knows if he can get you to start listing all these bad things and to start dwelling upon those things, that he might get you. Even if it's just for an hour or two or a day. Or three. You see what I'm saying? He'll never stop. He'll keep wanting more and more. Keep making you write all these bad lists, so to speak. Okay? But the Lord would have us to think on those things that are of good report. Those things that are lovely. And what is that doing when you put those things into action? You're praising Him. That's what you're doing. You're reminding yourself. That's what the scripture is saying. It says, "Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan." They're reminding themselves, encouraging themselves. They remember when God helped the children of Israel, delivered them out of the land of Egypt and through the wilderness for 40 years. And then crossing the Jordan over into Jericho and all these miraculous things God did for His people. That's what they're trying to get a hold of. They're wanting to reflect and remember. Excuse me, all the places, the times that God had delivered them. And I want to tell you something. That's something good to practice. And I'm not just trying to say that as shallow words. I'm talking about that is truly praising God. That's what you're doing. When you start reflecting upon the things God has done for you and God has done for His people, you're praising God. You're giving glory to God is what you're doing. Let's read on a little more here. In verse 7, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto thee, God of my life." In other words, our faith is hanging on. It's like, Lord, I remember, and now I'm comforted. Now it's confirmed in my mind one more time that You haven't forgotten me. You haven't forsaken Your people. And then it goes on, verse 9, "I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me," here it is again, "where is thy God?" But verse 11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" It's as if he's talking within himself again. It's like, why am I allowing myself to get to this place? And why art thou disquieted within me? "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Isn't that wonderful? Again, that what an awesome concluding thought for this chapter. It says, "For I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance." What's that meaning? Basically, giving us healing of any spiritual diseases we may have. That means a lack of faith, of doubt, of whatever it is, where wherever we find ourselves, God has a healing balm for that. And in the end, concluding this chapter, this last verse, it's as if faith gets the last word. Because we're going to continue to have these questions. And sometimes we ask ourselves these questions. That's what some of this chapter is saying. It's, well, where'd you go, Lord? And what about these people? They keep asking about, you know, where you're at. And sometimes, like, well, I can feel Him right now, and I know He's with me. And sometimes it takes faith even to say that. You understand what I'm saying? We've all been there, I believe, that sometimes it takes faith to, that, yes, Lord, I know You're with me. I may not feel You at this moment, but You've been with me up to this point, and You promised that You'd never leave me nor forsake me. So sometimes we got to swing out in faith and say, Lord, I know You're there. I may not be able to answer these folks the way they want an answer. How many times have we tried to do that? And it's like, well, they still don't understand. They still just don't get it. And you keep going back to the Lord for that. And you keep going to the Lord for that. And it's like, well, where else would I go? There's a song written about that. Where could I go but to the Lord? Needing a friend? How many times have you been out there and you hear of people that are so lonely? They do not have a friend. But we have someone that sticketh closer than a brother. We have a friend that can be with us wherever we're at. There's limits to physical friends in the flesh. They can't go with you everywhere. They have their jobs, they have their families, they have their responsibilities too. But we have a friend that can go with us everywhere we go, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. This friend can be with us as a companion, and we can praise Him over and over just for the simple fact of that alone, that we have a friend with us all the time. Isn't that worthy of praise? Yes, it is. Well, as I mentioned earlier, praise is getting the last word, especially in this chapter here. But again, faith is more than just saying that you believe. I'm sorry, praise is more than just saying the words. Praise is putting faith into action, expressing your faith and confidence in God by trusting Him for everything. That's really what it amounts to. That is true praise and glory to God to the nth degree. And proving through that life of victory that there is a loving and powerful and gracious God above. That's what you're doing. You're proving the Bible is true. That's praising God. But another thing, when we really focus on the Lord and we start praising Him, and not just with our lips and not just trying to get a happy emotion worked up, but when you really start focusing on the Lord and praising Him, it truly does bring your focus off of your troubles. It brings your focus off of yourself, and it puts the focus on God. That's where it should be all the time anyway. But it's so easy. We all been there. It's so easy to let our focus drag down and just look at the things around us. The circumstances, our environment, the failures that are out there, it's so easy to do that. But Lord, help us to lift up our eyes on high and to realize who God is. That God is, not only is He still in control, He wants to continue to control our lives. And it's not someone where we're a forced robot. No, that's not what the Scriptures talk about. We're free moral agents. We go wherever we want to. The song bears that out. We go where I want to and do whatever we please, but that's what we're doing here today, is we're coming here praising God that I want to please Him. I want to serve Him. I want to live for Him. And against all odds and against all the oppressions and the attacks of the enemy and those around me that don't understand and say, where is that God? We can through all of that say, He's right here. I got Him inside. I have a peace and a contentment that I cannot explain except the Lord gave it to me. That's praising God. And even sometimes when I mentioned earlier about Job. In fact, let's close with this scripture. In Job 23 and 10. Oh, Job. He went through a lot, did he not? But what was the end of Job? So much better. Better than he could ever hope or dream. But in Job 23 and 10. Says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That takes faith to believe that. But if we put that faith into action, just like Job did, that's praising God, is it not? Because Job came forth as gold, okay? You and I can too. But notice the first part of this. But he knoweth the way that I take. Just that alone is enough to praise God, because God knows the path that each and every one of us are taking right now. Do we believe that? It takes faith to believe it. It says, He knoweth the way that I take. And if anyone could say it, Job could say it. And in even in this 23rd chapter, this trial was not over. Okay, he was still in the midst of it. But his faith and confidence, he didn't even have the benefit and privilege of the scriptures, the complete scriptures like we have, and the Holy Spirit like we have. But yet his faith withstood all the attacks of his wife, just curse God and die, of his comforters, so-called friends, and everyone, and the devil just seeking to destroy him in every way he could. But the Lord still had a barrier there. I want to tell you something tonight. Let's praise God to know that He has our life. He knows everything, every little detail of our lives tonight. He knows about it. He knows the number of our hairs in our head. Remember, Brother Mike has said different times, sometimes he just wants to pluck one or two out just to have him recount them. But the point is, that's how personal our God is. I was just noticing some geese today. Up there in Webb City. And it got me to thinking about the scripture that He knows the sparrows that fall. Do you believe that tonight? Do you realize that He cares for us more than He cares about the birds? But yet these birds, they don't go hungry. I was looking at those geese and I'm thinking, what are they going to eat for supper tonight? God provides for them. Will not God provide for us? I mean, again, God loves His creation, His animals and all these things, but He loves us even more. Isn't that wonderful? That we can, with our lives, glorify Him, and in turn, it's praising God, and it's lifting the Lord up to all this lost and dying world that's so sick and full of sin. They have no... Someone was mentioned earlier about this drunkard. They didn't even know the basic stories of the Bible. Hadn't read the Bible. And I'm thinking, you know, that's just one. But how many other millions out there and little children that are being raised up right now that have no concept of God and who He is. Lord, help us that we can be an avenue that they might be able to see God in action through our lives. By praising Him with our lives. Our faith and confidence in the Lord in action is what praise is. Pray for me that I will praise God with my life.